You're listening to the Process Madness Podcast with Michael D. Wilson. Here's the deal. Business operations and processes are straight up anarchy for most companies, creating unhappy teams, customers, and business owners. It's time to get off the merry-go-round. We'll be deep diving into topics that are directly related to business improvement and the quality of life for those who support and run them.
If you're with it, like, share, and subscribe. Let's go.
Here's your host.
Hey everyone, this is Mike Wilson here with Processology, and you are on the Process Madness Podcast. And today we have the honor of interviewing Ginny Konevsky. and we're going to be talking with her about her business and what she does with copywriting and how she helps businesses. Also a little bit about her story. So Ginny, if you don't mind introducing yourself, tell us a little bit about you and your background.
So right now I run my own content strategy and copywriting business, and I work with small businesses and small consulting and coaching firms and help them grow with compelling messaging, content strategies. I create blog strategies. I create web copy. I work with them on all kinds of different content marketing that helps them increase revenue, enhance customer relationships, build their brands, whatever it is that they need around content marketing, that's what I do.
And nice. And
I was going to tell you about a process actually that is proprietary to my business. So start right out on a process note. I actually have a proprietary process that I created that I call, it's 5 steps, and I call it the Profit Vision Method. And what I do with every client is the first thing I do is I call a discover process. And that is a consultation where we do a video call, or if I'm in the same city, we do an in-person call, an in-person meeting. And it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours where we dig really deep into their business goals and strategies. So not necessarily just the project, but their overall business goals and strategies, and their strategies and goals for the project itself. And that allows me to get a real clear understanding of everything that needs to go into the project roadmap. Without understanding their overall strategies, I really can't make sure that I've got their project goals in mind. So it really helps me to get a clear picture of everything. And once I have that, I actually create a report for them. So that's really valuable information for them to have after the consultation. The second step is called strategize. And the strategize step, or the strategy step, is where I create a roadmap for the project. And that includes timeline, what I'm gonna deliver, when it's gonna be delivered, how, you know, just kind of outlines the entire project, includes a project agreement, and just gives a full picture of what we're gonna do. The third step is where the magic happens. That's when I write. That's when I create. Nice. And me and my team, or just me, or whoever it is. And I deliver the project. We do revisions if we need to. And that's the third step. The fourth step, which is really important, and not all content creators and copywriters do this, is the measurement step. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have already have metrics in place, whether it's Google Analytics or if they're using ConvertKit or some other kind of platform, something that will allow us to measure the success of the project. And that allows us to know if we were successful, and if not, why? Was it something to do with what we did, or is there some other factor playing a role? And that really helps us to move forward. And then the fifth step is also really important, and it's the growth phase. It's what else can we do to add value? Is there something else that we can add to this client's overall content marketing strategy to bring them even greater value? And that's my 5-step method. And it really works well to make sure that the client is getting the most possible value to transform their business.
That's awesome. I love that. I want to go back on a couple of those just because it kind of reminds me of our process. I love that you mentioned you have to really know the entire goal of the business mission. Your processes need to be designed to support your overall mission, right? Each process should have some portion that knows that's where we're trying to get overall. Yes. So I definitely see how that's important in your process as well. some point, there's one big goal that you're trying to get to, that every piece of content is working its way down, right?
So exactly.
I love that. And then especially the measuring part, because if you don't measure, you don't know if what you're doing works or not working.
So, what do you need to tweak? What do you need to change? Yeah.
I love that. So tell me about how has that process evolved for your company? Like, I'm assuming you didn't start out with that process. That's kind of something you in place over time.
That's correct. I mean, I think, you know, it's sort of been a little bit trial and error. When I first started, I did not have processes in place. And what ended up happening a lot of times is there would be a miscommunication or a disconnect between what the client would say they needed and what they actually needed. Not because they don't know or they're, you know, ill-informed, just because it's difficult to really know if you're not a content marketing expert. Well, they would come and say, well, I need a new website, or I need one new page, without knowing the big picture and without being, you know, an expert in the field. Or they wouldn't be able to communicate to me, for example, well, these are the kind of messages that appeal to us, but this is the kind of messaging that we don't like. So without going through this discover process, which is this discover phase, the first consultation phase,
absolutely,
I wouldn't understand where they were really coming from. I wouldn't understand, you know, obviously their overall business goals, but I wouldn't understand also what were their competitors doing that they liked? What were their competitors doing that didn't appeal to them? And as I said, you know, what kind of messages were really appealing to them? What did they really want to communicate with their customers? What was their brand that they really wanted to communicate? And sometimes you just couldn't get that with an initial discovery call.
So absolutely.
That was one of the reasons that this process kind of evolved. You know, and the other reason is because it's efficient. You know, it's efficient to have a single process that you do with every client, so that I'm not kind of with every client recreating, okay, how do I get to the bottom of what their real project is, or how do I get to the bottom of what they like and don't like? With it all mapped out for every client, then I didn't have to recreate it every time.
So would you say that process removed some of the variation from client to client? It kind of gave you more predictable outcomes. You know, if I take a client through these five steps, that I'm going to get what we need to create quality copy.
Absolutely. Yes.
Nice. That's awesome. I love that. And I think it's just such an important thing that, and I think the point of the process, at least for me, is I think, like you said, like sometimes a client doesn't really know what they want. They know they have a problem, and they know that it's not working. And a lot of times it's just, you know, you have the experience to dig deeper. Right. And to know, you know, where to look and things like that. So I tell people all the time, like when you hire a consultant or a coach, you're hiring them for their years of experience.
Exactly.
Right. You're hiring them for the shortcut.
So, right. And I don't mean to imply that clients are not intelligent. I mean, they're experts at what they do, and they bring that to the table, which is important. But we bring, as you said, not just my copywriting experience and my expertise in that, but I have, you know, 20 years of experience in marketing and strategy. I have an MBA. I have a long history of working in organizations, different size organizations, and working with different kinds of companies. So I bring that to the table, which is a huge added value for clients. So like you said, yes, they may say I want X, and that may end up being what they actually need. But let's find out what it's going to look like. And the only way to find that out is to ask lots of questions and really get to know each other. So I really want to make sure I deliver a custom experience for each client.
Absolutely. And so when you work with your clients, and we got your process, which I think is wonderful. I'm assuming, like when someone works with you, I'm not sure, like, are they hiring you on as a client to help them with all content moving forward? Is it typically just a project based, and you kind of teach them on how to use the tools and methods that you have put in place? How does that work?
It can be a little bit of both. So in some cases, it's a project per project. Ultimately, what I like to do, and what makes the most sense for most clients, is to do what you the former. So it's to become kind of their content consultant or their content strategist overall, because it really makes the most sense to have one person kind of in charge of or helping you with the overall content strategy. So you have one set of eyes or one kind of, you know, I would be, for example, the person who knows what their brand voice is and who's helping them create their editorial calendar for everything. So not just for example, their website, but let's plug your blog calendar, excuse me, into your workshop, you know, your workshops or your speeches or your speaker events or your trade shows or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. As we said before, you know, you want to be in sync with your overall business goals. So your content marketing needs to be in sync as well. And it needs to be planned over the course of, you know, whatever your year, however you plan your year. Yes. And so per project can work, mm-hmm. but it does really help if you have something in place sort of on a longer term.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can see, like, even similar to us, when you're able to work with a client long term and like you mentioned it a little bit, is that you really get to get close with their business and understand their mission more, understand what they're trying to do. And then you get to a place where not only you are helping them do the things they want to do, but now that you understand their business, you're able to make suggestions and help them brainstorm.
Exactly.
I guess I think we've talked a little bit about this, but let's just go ahead and hit on it a little clearer. Why should they hire a professional copywriter over? You know, I think a lot of people attempt to do this themselves first. And then because they're not measuring, because they don't have the five steps that you do, experience, they probably see themselves spending hours and hours creating content that doesn't actually work.
Well, I mean, the reason that I tell most people why they shouldn't do it themselves, there are a number of reasons. I mean, one is that you're too busy. You know, what is your core expertise? Is it copywriting or is it management consulting or, you know, coaching, executive coaching, whatever your core capabilities are, you want to use your time in the best way. And if the best way to use your time is working with your clients, then it's probably not writing your own copy. Mm. And so if you're using your time trying to write copy, and you're not a professional copywriter, you're probably not making the best use of your time. So that's the first reason.
Absolutely.
The second reason is you may not be as good at it as a professional copywriter. In fact, you probably are not as good at it as a professional copywriter.
Yeah.
The other reason is that you're too close to it. So most of the time, when people try to write their own copy, when companies try to write their own copy, they write too much about themselves. So they'll talk about, we do this and we do that, and this is how great we are, which is, it's important to know what your strengths are and why you add value.
Right.
However, the customer doesn't care about that. Ultimately, what they want to know is how you will make their lives better. They want to know how you're going to help them.
Yeah.
And so what my job is to take what you're great at and tell it in a story so that the customer feels like you're saving their life, like you're making them richer, or you're making them happier, or you're going to make them skinnier, or you're going to make them live longer, or whatever it is that you're going to do, you're going to help them and transform their lives. So that's my job. My job is to take your greatness and turn it into something that helps the customer. So,
I love
that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can personally relate to the things that you're saying, because when I had to write content myself, which is not my strong suit by any means, but when I have tried to do it, I find myself getting more, I would guess, a defensive side, where I feel like I need to justify my expertise, my service, and I'm not focusing more on what they're looking for, right?
Right.
So I can totally relate to that myself, and see how when you work with someone that can pull themselves away from that, right, you can come up with some better content.
Yeah.
So have you always been in this field? Did you start off somewhere else and found your way here? Well, how did that journey, what did that look like?
Well, so I started... I mean, this is not where I actually started, but I won't go that far back. I have an MBA, and after that, I worked in software marketing for a long time, software marketing and business development. And although we didn't call it content marketing at the time, that's what I did for the most part. I mean, I did alliances and business development And really, like 60-70% of my day was writing. I was creating proposals and writing, I mean, even emails, but they were like sales emails. And my job was to create relationships between my company and Microsoft, actually. That was my job, to create relationships between these companies. So I was a content marketer for years. Mm-hmm. And then when I kind of switched out of the corporate world and wanted to work on my own, I actually took a turn and wrote a novel, but then I took another turn and decided I wanted to make some money and started doing this. And it was a really logical transition. It just was the kind of writing that worked for me, that I was good at. And I really enjoy helping people grow their businesses grow their businesses by creating connection with their customers, by creating personal connection. It's so important right now that we create connection with our customers, because people have so much choice right now. They could go anywhere for the same service or product that you provide, but you want to make them choose you. And the way they're going to choose you is based on a personal connection, because people don't buy from companies, they buy from people. So you need to stand out, and you stand out with content marketing.
I love it. Yeah. This is definitely one of the things that we've been doing here at Processology, is switching to more of inbound type content versus outbound, focusing more on blog posts and creating content that I explained to, and I talked to them about this in the past, but I explained to a lot of about the mental buying process. Like, a lot of times that first stage is like, we're naturally defensive people. And if you come sell, we get scared and we back off.
Right.
So I think content is a wonderful way to educate people and show your expertise prior to saying, buy my product.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you have to warm them up to that and show like, hey, I can actually help you on your journey.
Yes.
So I guess let's switch gears just a little bit.
Sure.
So as you know, the podcast is called Process Madness. So we're all about trying to dig up where this is discovery time, where you figured out, okay, I need to get some process in place.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your journey prior to realizing that process is an important part of your business. And then what was that revelation, I guess you could say, where that started making sense for you and you started putting those processes in place? And how did that before and after look?
Well, when I first started on my own, kind of this specific business on my own, I did not have processes. It was just me kind of reinventing the wheel every time I had a new client. I mean, I had some processes that were built in for me in terms of, because of my CRM software, for example. You know, I got inbound leads from my website, and then I could create proposals and quotes. You know, that kind of thing was created for me through my software. But when it came to a lot of things, I was really doing the same thing again for each client. I was creating the same thing again for each client. And I didn't have my own process. I didn't have a process for each client. I would just kind of create the same thing again. I was also not great at prioritizing my time, and I was not very good at time management. So I know I was spending a lot more time on things than I needed to, and I would work I would not focus on one task at a time very well, and I worked long hours, but I feel like I wasn't getting as much done as I do now. I didn't have a defined quitting time, and I worked, you know, I would work later in the evening, even if I'd worked a full day. I was kind of always tired. And I also wasn't getting the kinds of clients that I really wanted to work with. I wasn't working with the kinds of people that I wanted to work with. So there were a lot of things that just kind of didn't fit for me, that didn't work for me.
Yeah.
So I decided relatively recently that it was time to make some changes, that it was time to kind of up-level my business and create different kinds of client relationships for me, and actually start offering different kinds of packages. I started adding sort of more high value, more premium packages to my offerings and focusing on a different kind of client, and creating some processes for myself. So some of the processes that I created, one thing I did was I have a quitting time and I stick to it. And I don't go to email or social media in the evening after dinner, for example. It's a work in progress for me. Sometimes I do.
I think it's smart.
but I'm really trying to stick to it. And I also don't work a grueling 8-hour day anymore. It's just too long. It's too much. It's just for when you work at home, you work so much harder than if you were in an office and you had distractions or meetings or this or that. So I just am much more conscious of my time and I'm more productive when I am working. I also work in chunks. So when I, in the morning, I decide kind of what I need to do. I put it on my calendar and I block off a chunk of time for each thing that I need to do, you know, social media posting, a client work, admin, whatever it might be. And excuse me. And then when I am working on whatever task it is, I set a timer for 30 minutes. I work on something for 30 minutes and I'm really, really productive and just work hard on something. And then when the 30 minute timer goes off, I get up from my desk. I go do something else for 5 minutes. I mean, sometimes I'll walk around the block. I'll go put in a load of laundry. You know, I'll go make my kids lunches. I just do something completely different. And then I come back and I do another 30 minutes. Yeah. And I thought, a friend of mine suggested this to me and I thought, well, that's crazy. That's not going to work. I won't be very productive. I'll 30 minutes, that's barely anything. It really works because it just gets you, it just kind of re-energizes you. In the past, I would work for hours at a time and then I would stand up and I would be all stiff and exhausted and drained. And this just really makes a huge difference for me.
Nice. That's awesome. I think, even for myself, like one of the things that I realized, you said something about social media earlier. And I think while social media is such an important thing to business today, especially if you're a small business, you know, you have to get the word and awareness out there.
Exactly.
But it's something that can take over your day, exactly. Right? So I think having a lot of times for that and limiting yourself is smart. For me, one of the things that I had to do was just turn off my ringer on my phone because every time I hear a sound, I feel like I need to go and give that some attention. And so when I turn off the ringer, I realize I just feel a lot less stressed. So part of my daily process is keep the ringer off. And that just helps a lot with my stress level and everything else, just because I don't feel like I'm running around constantly trying to keep up with everything else going on in my business world. So let me ask this. So is there anything like that triggered that for you?
It was more just a kind of an internal thing where I just was kind of dissatisfied with the results I was getting in my business. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I could be doing more. I could be making more money and I could be happier. One of my big goals working from home was to work less and make more money. I mean, I think the advantage that we have when we create our own businesses is that we can create our own business. We can create our own destiny and we can create what we want it to be. And my goal was to create something that was where I wasn't working full time, but that I was where I was adding a lot of value and working with the kind of people that I really liked working with, with whom I had personal connections, and that I was adding a lot of value and making the kind of money that I wanted to make, so that I had financial freedom, so that I could travel and spend time with my kids. You know, there are certain things that I want to do in my life. It's not like I need to, have all the toys or bathe in, mineral water or something, but there's a kind of lifestyle that I want to have. And it includes having more free time. And when I worked in companies, anyone who's ever worked in a company knows that you work with people that you don't get along with and you have to deal with it. You know, you have bosses that you don't like and you have to deal with it. But when you work for yourself, you have the ability to just sort of say, okay, these are my clients and I choose them. So I made a list of the kind of clients that I wanted to work with, and I made a list of kind of clients that I didn't want to work with. And I stick to that now. And when a client who comes up, a prospect comes up who is on my no list for some reason, has one of the characteristics of my kind of no list client, I don't work with them. It just, sometimes it's hard to say no to that, that project fee, but it's really important because in the end, when you do work with somebody who's not a fit, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for you. It's not good for the client. So So that was kind of
what lost you a little bit, where you said you were talking about your no list. If a client comes up that fits, that doesn't, that ends up on your no list, that's where we lost you.
So if a client comes up, so I have this no list with, you know, a list of like four or five things that are just kind of non-negotiable for me, that I just kinds of characteristics that just don't work for me to work with somebody. And if somebody comes up who has some of those, or one of, even one of those, I tend to say, hey, this is not a fit. And I walk away. And sometimes it's tough because, you know, you see this project fee and think, okay, I need the money or I want the money, but it's really not worth it. I mean, the whole point of, like I said before, of this, doing this work is to have quality of life.
Absolutely.
And you don't have quality of life if you're not happy in your work. And it's not good for the client either. You know, they don't get what they deserve either. So that was kind of what it was. So it was really just an internal thing.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, whether you're a solo entrepreneur or you're a large corporation, I mean, your processes literally are designed to give you whatever outcome you're getting, whether that's working too much, not working enough, your team's overworked, and basically like everything that we do, our processes are designed to give us that outcome, right? So if you're not getting the outcome you want, you know, your process is designed to give you that bad outcome, right?
Right, exactly, yes.
So I think, like, for, I guess, anyone listening, what I would say is if you're in your business or and you're not getting the results for your lifestyle, for your business itself, or for your clients, maybe you're not able to get the offer enough value, really look at your processes and really do that strategically, because that is, I tell people, it's like when you want to go from one destination to another, you use your GPS system. And the funny thing is, I even use my GPS system when I know where I'm going.
Exactly.
It accounts for traffic. It accounts for obstacles that I'm going to hit along the way. So even if you still follow your process.
I'm so glad to hear that I'm not the only one who does that. I use my GPS all the time. And it's for that reason. It's because of traffic. And I live in Austin, which is incredibly traffic heavy. And more often than not, I get a different route and I save time. So I use it all the time, every time I get in the car.
Absolutely. And it's going to account, I think, in a time like right now, we're seeing everything going on with the coronavirus and all that kinds of stuff. I think the processes are even more are starting to see is that they're having a breakdown in their business because their processes are meant for this type of business model where it's remote or something of that sort. And it requires you to really switch fast, right? Yep. Like a fast switch.
You have to be adaptable. Yeah.
You have to be able to adapt. And I think that's just naturally part of evolving as a company, is as you evolve and be more open to technology, you'll be more and more ready for situations like this.
I agree.
So I guess let's go ahead and talk a little bit about, so some of the things that I would say is you made some changes in your business. You made some changes in your process. And obviously that's helping you see more consistent results with clients and being able to see a better lifestyle for yourself, which is amazing.
Yes.
So what I'll ask is, have you seen in the products that you feel that you're able to bring to your clients, do you believe that end product or that value that you've been able to deliver has been, I guess, of greater value now that you have these processes in place? Has that you've been able to give better results, I guess you could say, for your clients through that?
Yeah, I think I am. Yes, I am. I mean, and I keep going back to this discover process, this discover phase of my 5-step method. But I really feel like that is one of the main reasons why things have changed so much in my business is the investment in getting to know my clients in a very different way than I did in the past. You know, I might have happened kind of inadvertently with other clients as we went along. But it didn't happen in the very beginning in the way that it needed to for me to add as much value as I possibly could. And I feel like now I am able to deliver more value. I am able to build longer term relationships. And I think my deliverables are now of higher value. And the most importantly, what I want to do is develop longer term relationships with clients so that I can continue to add value, not just with the project, but over the course of our relationship.
Absolutely. I mean, in a sense, like your framework that you use, that process, you've built a tool to help you do great, right? Like I tell you, if you've ever done a DIY project with the wrong tools, it becomes frustrating, right?
Yeah.
So, but if you have the right tools, I mean, you can actually have fun and enjoy it.
Exactly.
And because you can do it the right way. So what are some common objectives that you hear from potential clients or people that maybe not even a client, just people out there, like, I'm not ready for that right now, and I'm too right now, right now, maybe in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you know, the point I try to always run home is like, you're ready for it because you have processes today.
Right.
The question is, are they effective?
Right.
And so what are some of those objections you hear when you're talking to individuals about why they should be working with someone that is a professional copywriter? And what would you say to some of our listeners that may be thinking those same things right now?
I think the most common objection is around price. That's the most common thing. And sometimes it leads back to what we talked about before, which is, well, I can't afford it, or I don't want to pay for it. I'll just do it myself. Or I just don't want to spend the money, or I can't afford it right now. And what I would say to that is, you know, some of what I said before, if it's the I'll just do it myself objection, which is what I mentioned before about what is the best use of your time and what kind of results are you getting, the simple price objection just goes to, you know, what are you missing in terms of ROI by not doing it? And, yeah. You know, the price that you spend on the project or the retainer fee that we create, mm-hmm. is not the only thing that you're spending. Yes, you're spending that. But right. I mean, for example, there's a couple of statistics that are just really interesting. When you do content marketing gets 3 times more leads than paid search advertising. So if you're doing mm-hmm. advertising and spending money on advertising, you could actually stop that advertising or do less advertising, do content marketing, which costs less, and get 3 times more leads.
Wow. I mean,
what would you think if you got 3 times more leads? That'd be pretty great. Marketers who blogging is definitely less expensive than advertising, are 13 times more likely to have ROI. 13 times more likely. Blogging is an incredible content marketing tool.
Yeah.
So those are legitimate statistics from legitimate, you know, sources. And the investment is minimal compared to the turnaround, you know, or the result, excuse me. So I would just say to consider the bigger picture, you know, and just kind of talk through that with them and have them try to reevaluate their budget based on that.
Yeah, and I love what you said about blogging, because like I said, we're focusing more on outbound content, and we have a couple of blog posts that we wrote like a year ago and forgot about that are bringing in leads.
Yeah, right?
And it's for me personally, as a business owner, what I love about it is I felt like it's free leads now, because I had invested in that, and I felt like, okay, that ran its course, and the fact that you get a lead from it, even if it's lead, you're excited because you've counted that as, you know, done.
Some
right?
cost, yeah. And that's really important. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, what I was going to say, like, whereas with paid ads and things like that, like, as soon as you stop paying, your ads are shut off.
Exactly. Exactly. And you bring up an important point when you talk about a blog post from the past getting you leads now. It's an important point about another process that people can use, and that's super important in content marketing, and that is content repurposing. So that when mm-hmm. you have content, for example, your blog post is still getting you leads. Another thing you can do with some of your blog posts and with other content is you can reuse it. Content repurposing is when you take existing content mm-hmm. and reuse it in some other way. So mm-hmm. either you turn a blog post into, like I said, a LinkedIn article, or you turn a blog post into a video. You can take your social media posts and turn them into blog posts. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can take your content, and you don't have to recreate new content from scratch. You know, you have valuable content. If you have high quality content, there is so much you can do with it, and you know, it's manipulated in lots of different forms. So content repurposing is a huge high value way to use content.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that, because I think from, you know, I don't know if you follow Gary Vee or anything like that, but, you know, sometimes like I see what the way he does his content is like he's pulling smaller bits of content, which I think is super, super valuable. Like, you know, so with a blog post where you're doing some strategic planning and you're doing research and you're putting all this in, that blog post is most likely full of valuable content that you can use in a blog, in a social post, or like you said, in a video, or even like if you're trying to figure out topics to use for other things, like you could probably pick one good blog post and find a couple of topics just out of that.
So, Exactly.
I
you
love
have a
that.
Gold mine. There's a gold mine in blog posts, and and you can pick from that. I mean, and do all kinds of things with it.
That's awesome. I love it. So I guess for our listeners, one of the things that I try to end all these podcasts with is, what would you say was your best financial investment in your business? And what would you say was your worst investment in your business?
So my worst investment, my best investment has been two things. One is working with a specific personal a business coach who just has helped me immensely. And the reason that I invested in her, and it was a significant enough investment to kind of make me give me pause, but I invested in her once I knew her really well, and I knew her track record. I knew people who had worked with her. So I didn't just go blindly into working with her. And I think a lot of times when people do work with coaches or sign up for courses or do, you know, kind of try to find something to help them build their business, it's without doing the research. And then you can lose a lot of money that way because you don't know who you're working with. But in this case, it was somebody that I had really knew was going to help me. And the other thing is, when you do work with a coach or do a course, you can't just go into it thinking that you're not going to have to do any work. it's not going to magically change your business. You have to actually do the work. They may give you the tools, but you actually have to do the work. So that was a great investment. And I would have to say the other thing that I invested in that I really went kind of high level is my website. Some people can run a business without a website entirely. My website has I invested in a really great web designer, a really great logo, and a wonderful photographer. And my website I continue to get leads, and every time someone goes on my website, they comment on how great it is. So, and of course, a great copywriter. So,
absolutely.
I mean, I did my own copy. So, I'm not saying that everybody needs to invest in an expensive website, but for me, that has been a valuable thing. My worst investment goes back to my best investment comment, which is I can't remember at all what it was, but I'm sure I know that I bought some kind of course at some time that I didn't do a lot of research on, that I just thought was going to be a quick fix. And it wasn't a lot of money. You know, it was probably a couple hundred dollars, but it was a couple hundred dollars that I got nothing back for. So it was a course. It was some kind of course or something. Oh no, actually, you know what? I do remember. It was a sales training, and it was actually $900. So it was a lot of money, at least for me at the time. And I didn't even end up doing it. Just the person who was running it, I ended up not liking her style, and I did a couple of modules, and then I just didn't do any of the other ones. And had I done more research before I bought, I wouldn't have bought.
So I would say the takeaways from that is do your research, make sure. I think like that is a big challenge right now, because there are so many coaches and consultants out that and you have a lot that don't necessarily have experience in coaching or consulting.
Exactly.
I tell people, just because you're great at baking cakes doesn't mean you can run a cake business.
That's true.
So I think like it's important to make sure that not saying that you shouldn't give someone a chance, but make sure that you qualify them first.
Yes.
And make sure that And I think, you know, it's a good sign when you're working with a coach or consultant that's also qualifying you. Because, you know,
absolutely. That's a great point. That's a very important point.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because, you know, I think for, you know, the coach or the consultant that's just taking any and everybody and not, they don't truly understand who you are, what your business is about. Like me, like I typically, I have people that will reach out to me on social media that just, they want, oh, what would it cost me to do this? And I'm like, I can't, like, I
need to answer that. Yeah.
Let's get on the call. I need to learn about your business. And typically what I do, it takes an assessment stage of figuring out where you are today.
Yes.
Like, you know, before I can help you get to where you want to go. Okay. So I guess, you know, I love the questions. I love all the answers. I love hearing your story and the growth and all that. I think it's really exciting. And I think we got some really valuable content for our listeners and some things that will hopefully help them on their journey. But tell us, how can they find you? What's your social media handles? What's the best way to get a hold of you? If they hear this and they're like, look, I need somebody to help me with this copy because it's not working. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, I would love to hear from anybody, any of your listeners. You can find me on LinkedIn, and the spelling of my name, I'm Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y. My last name is K-A-N as in Nancy, E-V as in Victor, S as in Sam, K-Y. Or on my website is probably the best way, and it's just jennykanevsky.com. So it's just my full name, .com. And just reach out to me on my website and book a call or say hi, join my email list. And I'm on LinkedIn all the time. You can send me a direct message and I'll respond. I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. And so I guess, you know, what I'll finish is that it just popped in my head one last question for people that are listening. What would you say, like, for someone in that mindset of they're not sure if they should reach out or not, they're not sure if this is the right fit for them. What would you say that, who are the ideal people that you feel like, okay, like this would be a good option for you? Would this be someone that before they've even started with the website, they're new business owners, or would this be someone that maybe they're a little more established and they've created some content, but they're not seeing the results they want? What would that ideal person look like for you?
Well, I mean, I work with people, I create web content from scratch, and I also work with people who have websites that they may want to, you know, redo. So either way, it works. You don't have to have a website, an existing website to come work with me. And I also do blog packages and I do other kinds of content. So if you have any question at all and you're interested, just go on LinkedIn and send me a direct message or go on my website and book a call and we'll talk. And we'll see if it's a fit.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like your inbox is going to get blown up. And
so, I love it.
Go ahead and send some messages.
Sounds great.
Virginia, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your journey, sharing your story with me. I really appreciate it. I love
thanks hearing. For the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I love hearing when business owners take their processes seriously. And like I said, it's all about that process madness and trying to get out of that. I think it's such an easy thing to fall into. So congratulations on your journey of working your way through that. And yeah, thanks for coming on. Make sure that you guys reach out to Jenny.
Thank you, guys. Thanks a lot, Michael.
You just listened to the Process Madness podcast. If you're with it, like, share, and subscribe. Also, don't forget to visit us at processology.net if you're looking to operate better, live better.